All right. Well, we have Brother Spurgeon with us all this week, and I think it's been maybe 4 years. Yeah, 4 years. You used to come like every year, and then it switched to every other, and then you had surgery, and that put it out another. So praise the Lord. It is good to have you here. You've been a blessing to our church for many years. So why don't you come and preach to us, brother?
Sometimes you can judge by the response to that, what kind of meeting you're going to have. Amen. My name's Dave Spurgeon, and I'm an evangelist. And I've been coming here since 2001. Some of you I recognize from 2001. And some of you through the years, and some of you I've never seen before. So if you've come to this church since June of 2016... You never heard me preach. You don't know my wife and I. Clip your hand up. All right, that's a pretty good number. This is my wife, Susan. Stand up. I call her Mrs. Wonderful. Yeah, I do. I've been calling her that for a long time. Say, why do you call her that? That RV out there, that's the third one we've been in 22 years on the road. And anybody can live in an RV with Dave Spurgeon for that long is wonderful. Amen. Like Pastor said, out there on the table is, well, first of all, there's copies of my gospel tract. That might be just the thing that get the gospel in somebody's hand that's never come to church, not interested in coming to church. That's why we wrote it. That ugly guy in the front, that's me. Both those ugly guys on the front, they're me. One before Christ, one after. They're free. That's the only thing on the table that's free. I understand. I got to say that. There's music CDs that my wife and girls made during the years. We had a singing group. And I don't know what my wife and I do now exactly, but upon request, we give it a whirl. But there's some good CDs, good Christian music, many songs you've heard before because we stole every single one of them. People say, did you write that? Are you kidding? Amen. And also the book that Pastor Russo mentioned is out there. And that was written, I asked the Lord, how do I go home to my friends and tell them how great things the Lord had done for me? They wanted to kill me for many years. And he said, write a book. I said, seriously? Me? And he gave me the grace to do it. We've sold over 15,000. We've had people saved. I heard last week I got a text from a guy that he had requested me send a book to a Hell's Angel from California, and that guy got saved. So praise the Lord. So God will save anybody. That's what I heard. That's what I read. That's what I experienced, and I'm glad to be child of God this morning. I'm not the political commentary guy. I think we need to leave that stuff out there because it's so much in our lives. And some preachers, they get in the pulpit and spend a half hour talking about politics. I'm not that guy. But I will say this. In American history, they are always digging up new documents and things. And recently in Washington, D.C., they discovered some things that Abraham Lincoln had written. And one of the most significant things was his biggest regret. It was recorded. It was a letter never before seen. And Abraham Lincoln's biggest regret in his presidency, and you can, if you can recall, things were a little crazy then too. This isn't the first time our country's been like this. And but his biggest regret, number one, was appointing Ruth Bader Ginsburg to the Supreme Court. Okay, that's as political as I'm going to get. Do we need this? See, I don't know how to address you people in the back room. I think the original plan was that you watch it on the TV. But Pastor Russo, I'm going to rat them out. They moved all their chairs over so that they're in direct line. I like that. That's better. I'm glad you're that interested. Amen. That way you're not over there hiding on your phone. Don't you guys do it either. And it is good to be in the house of God this morning. I had to cancel 2016. I went to Alaska to preach. Came back. The Veterans Administration did a CAT scan on my shoulder. Scheduled me for immediate surgery. I canceled 16. revivals. Regretfully, this was the time of year that I was supposed to be up here. That disrupted our schedule. We run every other year for, I don't know, about half of the time that I've been coming here. I would come here every year, but it's y'all's fault because I used to ask that you pray that God would give us more meetings than he did. And that's a blessing. That's an answer to prayer. But I'm going to tell you what, it is an honor and privilege to be back. It's almost, I've been in some places just this year since this lockdown. I've been on the road about 5 or 6 weeks, and we were in some churches up in Maine and upstate. I'd never been to. That's fine. We like doing that. But I'll tell you what, it was almost like a sigh of relief when we pulled back in here. It was almost like coming home. One of the first things we noticed in 2001, now we're from northern Ohio, right by Lake Erie. And one of the first things we noticed when we came over here, and this is the church that brought us to New York State. One of the first things we noticed is that you guys are like us. Very similar. I mean, the countryside, very similar. Flat, farmland, everything just like where we grew up. And y'all talk normal. I'm saying y'all, I have no idea why. And you know, down south, if somebody says y'all, that's singular. But if they say all y'all, that's plural. I just wanted to help you with that. And so we do appreciate it. Just the spirit here, the testimony of this church, and the faithfulness of you folks. That's better, huh? And just made us feel real comfortable. So I feel real comfortable. I hope you do. Take your Bible this morning. Go to Proverbs 25. I don't want you to feel too comfortable because, as everyone knows, the pastor's job is to comfort the afflicted, and I'm sure he has his hands full. Evangelists, on the other hand, our job is to come in and afflict the comfortable. And I've been doing it a long time, and that's my goal here. My goal is to stir you up by putting you in remembrance of some things that you already know. I believe the King James Bible is the inspired, inerrant Word of God from cover to cover. And I'm not going to bring you anything new. I'm just going to remind you some things. Hopefully for the purpose of stirring you up. So I'm glad to hear you've got some outreaches going. Because I'll tell you what, if there was ever a day and time in American history for sure to get this country stirred up a little bit about the right thing, it's now. I believe the Lord's coming back soon. I believe the time's short. Bible says in Ephesians 5, redeeming the time for the days are evil. Hello. This know also in the last days, perilous times shall come. Why does any of this take anybody by surprise? I'm going to tell you why. Because they're not spending as much time in their Bible as they are the front of the television or the computer. Amen. So I get it. I like when everything runs smooth. But I got a Bible that says it doesn't always run smooth. Proverbs 25. So much for the doom and gloom. Today I want to cheer you up. Today I want to bring you, get it started like this anyway. Verse 25, Proverbs 25, the Bible says this. As cold waters to a thirsty soul, so is good news from a far country. I didn't ask for this bottle of cold water for an illustration. Brother gave it to me and I appreciate it. It's good and yeah, I recommend it. Okay. As cold waters to a thirsty soul. Here's what we know about water. Water refreshes. Water refreshes. It enables you to think clearly. Amen. Water will give you the strength to keep going. Sometimes it is absolutely necessary to sustain life. I don't know if it's correct to say this in a Baptist church, but water is actually more important than food. Amen. I know. Don't throw nothing in this place. I'm confident that as pretty as this church is, you won't be throwing stuff at us. I hope not. Amen. But water is important. Cold water quenches thirst like nothing else. Amen. You might like soda pop. Amen. What do you call it up here? Do you call it soda? Call it pop? At both ways. Where I grew up, Northern Ohio, we called like Coke and Pepsi, and that's what we called it, pop. Pop. Amen. Then I went to the military, and there were some guys in my basic training unit from New Jersey. And they said soda. And I didn't know what they were talking about. I didn't really know. I mean, I picked up quick, but they were talking about the same thing that we call Coke. And then down in Florida, I preached down there in Florida. In Florida, they call everything Coke. Coke means carbonated beverage. Orange, 7-Up. root beer, it's all Coke. I'll have a Coke. And they'll say, wait, say, what flavor? And you tell them which flavor. People talk different. That's why I like it up here. You guys talk normal. Amen. Now, I don't drink much Coca-Cola and that kind of stuff, but it sure tastes good, doesn't it? It does. And if you know, I don't like Coke, well, you like something. And I'm going to tell you why you like it. If you ever read the can, you'll find out why. There's enough sugar in one regular Coke to kill a horse. Amen. And sugar sure tastes good. Amen. But I'm going to tell you what it does not do. Doesn't quench thirst. Bible says it's cold waters to a thirsty soul. Amen. Nothing quenches thirst. I like lemonade. In my world that I travel in, everybody likes tea. Tea. And especially get down south, it's sweet tea. There used to be a time where the only place you could get sweet tea was down south. Not anymore. Not anymore. They got it all over the north now. Somebody told me years ago, they said, I feel sorry for you Yankees. And my first thought was, why? We won. Amen. But, you know, and I'm the guy that'll say it to them, too. And I said, well, why do you feel sorry for us? And they said, well, because you guys don't have sweet tea up there. And this was before there was a Cracker Barrel north of the Mason-Dixon line. And I said, we have sweet tea up there. They said, you do? I said, yeah, we just call it pancake syrup up here. Because that's when, man, they put so much sugar in, no wonder it tastes good. But it doesn't quench thirst. I like lemonade better than tea. Lemonade. I don't know why, I just like it. I go to a restaurant, I say, do you have lemonade? They say, yes, we have pink lemonade, we have strawberry lemonade, we have banana lemonade. I'm not sure, I might have just made that up. We have raspberry lemonade, we have all. And I said, you got any like lemon lemonade? Like just, amen. And I like it, but it doesn't quench thirst. Nothing quenches thirst like cold waters. And if you've ever really been thirsty, worked outside in the summer or riding your snowmobile, whatever it is you guys do around here a lot, if you've ever been really thirsty, you know nothing quenches thirst like cold water. You know, the Bible all together, and especially in the book of Proverbs, you have a principle of relaying information. It's called comparison, contrast, and repetition. And nowhere is that more prevalent than the book of Proverbs. And what the author's done here is giving you a comparison, taking something you know about, water, as cold waters to a thirsty soul. And then he gives you the point that he's trying to make. It goes on and says, and so is good news from a far country. Amen. I want to talk to you this morning I want to preach to you about good news. Amen. Take your Bible, go to Hebrews 11. Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11 this morning. Amen. Not much good news going on in this country right now. Things are kind of crazy. That's kind of understating it. Amen. But I want to talk to you about God of a far country. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 11, look at verse 13. Now you've got all these, and it says at the beginning in the verse, it says, and these all died in faith. And you got different guys, Abel, Enoch, Abraham, Noah, all of them. And by faith, they did what God told them to do. And it says, verse 13, it says, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. You see that? We're talking about good news from a far country, and the country that I'm going to bring you some good news from is the one that they're looking forward to here. In verse 15, and truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. You know, we talk about burning bridges. Amen. The Bible says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. We talk about when you become a child of God, to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord, you got to burn some bridges. There's some places you got to stop going to. There's some things you got to stop doing if you're ever going to make any progress. Listen, your salvation was purchased 100% on the cross of Calvary, but it is a crying shame this morning that some Christians never get any farther than just getting saved. And part of the reason is they stay too mindful of that country from which they came. Amen. That's that world that God saved you out of. And there's some ties that need to be broken if you're ever going to focus on what's before you. Amen. The reason people go back so often is because they didn't burn the bridges. Amen. Verse 16, but now they desire a better country. That's me. And listen, I love America. I am a patriot. I am a veteran. Amen. I've been in other countries. This is the greatest country on earth right now. Amen. As messed up as a lot of things are. Amen. Say, what about this? What about that? What about you and I doing something to win our countrymen to Jesus Christ while we can? Amen. And it says, but they desire a better country, and I desire a better country too. And it says, that is in heavenly. Verse 16, wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. Amen. Listen, every country I know of has a city, a capital city. Amen. And let me just say, take your Bible, go to Revelation 21. Revelation 21, and let's take a look at the capital of that heavenly country we're talking about. We're going to get some new good news out of this morning. Revelation 21 and verse number 2, and Paul's the author of this book, and it says, and I, John, saw the holy city, there it is, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven. Amen. Now, you know it's going to be good if it's prepared by God. And it says, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Now, just stop and think about that for a minute. What a way to describe a city. Amen. As a bride adorned for her husband. Now, I've been on the road about 5-6 weeks now. I got to get home because I'm going to marry my youngest daughter to this guy that he better do right, I'm telling you, and on September 5th. And that's Labor Day weekend. And they're supposed to get married in May, and I set up my schedule so I'd be home to do the wedding. And then this thing hit, this COVID or Corona, whatever it is. So that got shut down, and then things started to open up a little bit, and who knows what it's going to be like in a month. We don't know really what's going on. But I showed her my schedule. I said, listen, I got one Saturday open between now and Christmas, and it's September 5th, and you better take it. And she took it. Of course, as soon as I said that, then I had to drive that rig to San Antonio to start a meeting. My wife had to stay back and take care of some stuff and join me. She had to fly down. And one of the things that happened was, she said, well, might as well take little Evie. Some of you remember her. She was 9 when she first came here. Amen. Now she's she'll be 28 in a couple months. Amen. One of the things you had to do is take her and find a wedding dress. You know why? Because I would say that there's no day a lady wants to be more beautiful than on the day she gets married. Amen? And I've got 4 daughters, so I know all about this. This is the last one finally getting married. Amen. And we're going to do whatever we can do to make sure that's a great day for her. Amen. First thing I did was grab that young man and lead him to Jesus Christ about 1.5 years ago. That's the best way you can ever be prepared for successful marriage is to make sure you're both saved. Can I get an amen? Amen. And so this city that I'm talking about, this capital city of a country, a far country, the Bible calls it, is adorned in that manner as a bride adorned for her husband. Verse 10, look at verse 10. And he carried me, John is talking, and he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain and showed me that that great city, the holy Jerusalem. That's it. Holy Jerusalem descending out of heaven. Again, it says from God. Can you imagine? I mean, no, you can't. I can give you a verse to prove you can't. But try. I mean, try to imagine what this place. Now, the Bible gives us a lot of parameters, gives us some descriptions. Amen. And it also says in 1 Corinthians 2 that I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man, the things which God hath, just what it says, prepared for them that love it. I mean, as hard as you try, it's going to be better than that. That's exciting to me, because I can imagine a lot, you know. And it's just going to be, well, let me say, maybe it'd be appropriate to say, out of this world. Amen? I'll tell you something, no city on this planet can even scratch the surface. Nothing the Romans did or the Greeks or Babylonians. You can read in world history about things adorned with gold and all that stuff and fabulous stuff, and won't even scratch the surface. Won't be nothing like what this place is going to be looked at. We're talking about good news, and I'm going to give you some good news. If you're saved in here, now maybe you've never been a world traveler, but if you're saved in here, one of these days you're going to see it. Now we're reading about it. We're trying to imagine it. We're trying to get it all together according to the description. But the good news is, one day, I mean, you're going to see that with your own eyes. Won't that be good? I've been a lot of places we travel. We've been a lot of places that were just so fascinating in one way or another. We just couldn't wait to get back. Hoped we'd get to go back to. We've flew to Hawaii to preach. Calm down. To preach a revival. And we flew to Hawaii and a waitress, stewardess. Okay. She said, is this your first time in Hawaii? And we said, yes. I mean, we're from Ohio. What are we doing in Hawaii anyway? I don't even get it. And stewardess said, it won't be your last. She was so confident. And I'm going to tell you what, it wasn't. 2 years later, we went back and preached another revival there. We'd be going there still, but the preacher went on to heaven, so that ended that. But I sure did enjoy it. I've been places that, man, I hope we get to go back to. I've never been anywhere that compares to this. Want some good news? If you're saved, you don't have to worry about a chance to come back. You're going to have a mansion there. You're going to get to live there forever. I don't know about you. That's good news. I never lived in a mansion. I live in a vehicle. Amen. I don't mind. We've been traveling. We've been on the road over 20 years serving the Lord. I'm good with that because I know what's coming. And just to be honest with you, I don't plan on spending much time at home when I get to heaven either. Amen. I want to be where the Lord is. I want to be around the throne. Amen. I don't know about you. That's good news. I don't know about you, but that helps me. Keep all this stuff in context. All right. So I want to preach on good news. That was the introduction, okay? That was not the message. Here comes the message right after the prayer. Father, I love you and thank you for grace. Thank you, God, for your goodness to us. Thank you, God, that we still have the liberty to assemble like this. Even with restrictions and there are different things going on in different places, there's probably millions of Christians around the world that wish they could do what we're doing right now. Help us to appreciate that more. Help us to quit taking your goodness and the freedom that we have here for granted. Help us to get busy about your Father's, about the Father's business. Help us, Lord God, to get something the next couple days, Lord, that'll strengthen our spirit. And I just thank you, God, for Jesus Christ. I pray that if there's a soul in here that has never, never truly been born again, somebody that's never been saved, I pray that they'd be closer to that than they are right now. Perhaps even today. The Bible says now is the day of salvation. I love you, Lord. Thank you for the privilege to be your child. Thank you for the privilege to stand in this pulpit. And God, I pray that all that's said and done would be, first of all, pleasing to you and glorifying to Jesus Christ and a blessing to these folks that have assembled today. And I pray it all in Jesus Christ's name. Amen and amen. I think we're in Revelation 21. Go to verse 23. Revelation 21 and verse 33. 23, one of them. Let's see, there probably isn't even 33 in that one, is there? No. How many of you knew that? How many of you didn't? Put your hand down. Don't be bragging. Amen. Revelation chapter 21 in verse 23, the Bible says this. And the city, capital city, far country, and the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it. Amen. The glory of God did lighten it. Then it goes on and says this, and the Lamb is the light thereof. Now, John the Baptist said, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. The Lamb of God is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the light, not only of the world, but the light of heaven too. When that book says in Romans chapter 3 and verse 23, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, you don't have to wonder exactly what that means. What is the glory of God? Jesus Christ is the glory of God. So let me put it out of your head. If you got any way, shape, or form, think you're going to get into heaven because you're a great person, I will acknowledge here now, you might be the best person in a community, but you've come short of Jesus Christ. Amen. You want some good news? You want some good news? A day's coming. If you're saved now, I'm talking to saved people right now. If you're saved, one day you're going to meet him. That ought to be good news for you. You're going to meet him personally. Amen. The one that died for you, it says. The one that became sin for you. For it got him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. That's what we're talking about. It says in Titus chapter 2, gave himself for us. The Bible refers to him as the author and finisher of our faith, the Alpha and the Omega, the Rose of Sharon. And over there in Song of Solomon chapter 2 and verse 1, he says, I am the Rose of Sharon, the lily of the valleys. Unlike to him, the word valleys is plural. That means he's the one that got you through the last valley is the one that's going to get you through the next valley. That's him. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. The lily of all the valleys. Everything that a child of God goes through down here, he's right there with you. He'll go right there, right through that thing with you. I like this. The Bible refers to him, I'm not sure, Revelation 1 maybe, as the lion of the tribe of Judah. Boy, he came as a lamb the first time, but the next time he's coming back as a lion, and I'm glad I'm behind him and not in front of him. Amen. We're talking about good news from a far country, and I hope to encourage you by saying one day you're going to meet Jesus Christ personally if you're a child of God this morning. Now, you've read about him. You've read about him. We've sang about him already this morning. We talk about him. We talk about him all the time. I like talking to him. I think he's the most talked to person that's ever lived. What are you talking about? Well, don't you pray? Who do you pray to? Amen. I'm talking about Jesus Christ. Listen to me. If you're saved in here this morning, you have met him by faith. But the good news I'm trying to get across to you, try to encourage you a little bit, is that one day you're going to meet him in person, face to face. That excites my soul. Amen. One day, I mean, we say it, we sing it, we thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Won't it be something the day you're going to be able to say to him face to face, thank you, Lord? I'm going to tell you what's going to happen that day. And I believe this across the board for every Christian, when you see him, when you look in those eyes, when you look in the eyes of the Savior, God manifests in the flesh, who went to the cross, allowed them to beat him beyond recognition and nailed him to the cross. When you see those nail prints, you know what you're going to know? You're going to know then how much he really loved you. We read about it. We sing about it. Our spirit bears witness to it. But can you imagine? Can you imagine when you get face to face with him? I don't think a word's going to have to be spoken. I think you're going to look at him and you're going to get a hold. You're going to have a better grasp on how much he loves you than you could ever have down here. And I think this will go right along with it. I think that moment, you're going to wish you'd have done more. Amen. Across the board. I can't see how it could not be that way. You're going to realize what he did for you, not to get what you deserve in a devil's hell. And I know this is the case with me. You're going to wish you'd have done more. You're going to wish you'd availed yourself to the outreaches of your church. You're going to wish you'd have witnessed a little more to your neighbors and your relatives. Amen. You're going to wish you'd have took some of these things more seriously. You're going to think, man, why did I make such a big stinking deal? A lot of stuff that don't matter and cause problems in my church, all that kind of stuff. We're going to be under conviction, and just by seeing them, I believe. Now, problem with that is this. By the time you get there, it'll be too late. It'll be too late to get things right. It'll be too late to do more. The good news is this. If we could get a hold of that now, just a little bit more, we can do more. We could do more. We could get some things straightened out and things right and get on his side and his cause. David said, is there not a cause? Oh, there's a cause. Amen. There's some good news. As cold waters to a thirsty soul, so is good news from a far country. Revelation 4. Go to Revelation chapter 4. Revelation chapter 4, and let's look at verse number 8. And the four beasts had each of them six wings about him, and they were full of eyes within, and they rest not day and night. Now, you know, I'm trying to grasp what they look like. Amen. But I don't have to grasp what they're doing. That's pretty clear. And it says, they rest not day and night, saying, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. And they repeat that thing, and they repeat. That's their job. Amen. I mean, what are they doing? They are worshiping God, full time, 24/7, as much as time is relevant, amen. And I'm going to tell you what, one of the things I'm looking forward to when I get there, after meeting my Savior, first of all, is getting to witness true worship. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. Man, can you imagine such a thing? Can you imagine the deafening sound of thousands, millions of saints, amen, giving honor and praise and glory? Hey, we did a good job this morning. Amen. I was looking at the songs. I was listening to the songs. I mean, I think they pleased God. Amen. The theme, the worship, the praise, and the participation. But boy, I can't wait to get in on it up there. Amen. We do the best we can. Nobody up there, I can't find in my Bible, nobody up there singing Kumbaya. Yeah, and no bouncing balls, any of that, amen. And no praise and worship. Well, that's quite a praise and worship team. Maybe that's what they are, amen. Boy, I'll tell you what. No humming. You ever see a Buddhist? There's, I don't know what their song service is like, but I can imagine a room full of people going, That's all they do, they hum. You know why? Because they got nothing to sing about. We got something to sing about. Amen. I don't even know if they have hymnals. I don't even know if they ever get off that first note. I'll tell you what, I'm looking forward to getting on true worship. Amen, true worship. Nobody's up there vainly repeating religious prayers over and over and over and over and over again. I'm going to tell you what. Well, you read through Revelation 4, Revelation 5. Buddy, they are proclaiming the greatness of God and giving him the honor and worthy he's worship, worthy of. Worship he's worthy of, yeah. And but I want to say this. Now, see, I talk about the other crowds, and we go, yeah. And I say those things, and we go, yeah. But I'm going to tell you what I see week after week after week after week after week. Traveling around, I see a room full of Baptists with I believe, inspired hymns, some of them. You read some of the Fanny Crosby stuff. We sang one this morning. And we've been listening to them, doctrinally sound hymns written by hymn writers that prayed, had a touch of God on them. That's why scriptural singing sets the stage for scriptural preaching. Amen. All got the same author at the heart, Lord willing. Amen. We've been singing them so long, we memorize the words, we don't pick up the songbook, we don't pay any attention to what we're singing. We're just mouthing the words to things like, you know, the blood still saves, or the dungeon flaming with light, one of my all-time favorites, or the glorious thought of their sins being nailed to the cross and they bear them no more. And I'm watching in churches weekend and we're singing that stuff methodically, and it's not exciting to us, and it doesn't bring a tear to our heart, our eye. I'm going to tell you something. On our best day, if we're not careful, we can get just as vainly repetitious as all that other crowd. It needs to get real to us again. And I'm going to tell you something, it's not going to be like that there. With Jesus Christ sitting on the throne, he's going to have everybody's attention. And some people might be on their face saying, forgive me, Lord, for not taking this more seriously. What about as the clouds being rolled back as a scroll? I mean, does that speak to your heart? Because it should, because I got a feeling it's right around the corner. Amen. Good news. Good news. If you get to meet Jesus Christ personally, that ought to be good news for you. Amen. Say, well, I don't know about that. Well, I can understand being a little nervous about the judgment seat of Christ. Why don't you take the opportunities God gives you to get ready for that thing by getting your sins confessed and ask God to help you get some victory over your stinking flesh and turn off this stinking world a little more than you do. I understand we're in it, but I'm going to tell you what, man, too many of us are of it. Too much. That's good preaching. Hold on a second. Good preaching, Brother Spurgeon. You have to learn to do that yourself these days. Amen. All right, number three, we're talking about good news from a far country. Go back to Revelation 21. Revelation 21. I don't think I drink this much water normally, but the verse, it just reminds me, you know. Amen. Revelation 21, look at number 4, verse 4. And the Bible says this, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. You know what those things are on that list right there? They're the realities of life. For the saved and the unsaved alike, all those things are just part of the package of fallen man. But let me just say this by way of good news. The realities of this life are not realities in heaven. Why? Because it says, for the former things are passed away. There is no economic issues up there. Amen. I think when you get there, he's going to hand you the title to your mansion. Amen. Amen. No more payments, no more foreclosures, none of that. No Antifa. They're going to be in another place. Amen. And it won't be where we're going. Amen. No COVID. Amen. There's no sickness. Amen. There's no prodigals. There's no devil's music. Don't you get sick of the devil's music? I'll tell you what freaks me out is that it's creeping into our churches. Amen. I see it. And it's subtle. But it comes in. I'm watching young people up there playing rock. To me, it's the beat and everything is rock music. The Bible says under the pure all things are pure. They don't even get it. They don't even realize it. And I'm taking me right back to the old days, right back to the bars, right back to the concerts. And they're up there, Jesus, Jesus only. They ain't singing it with the right. Amen. I'm tired. Boy, I pulled up to a red light one time, and I heard, man, you know, isn't that something? I got hearing problems, and I didn't wear my hearing aid today. That's a confession. I pull up to this car. You know, my mom said, David, turn the music down. David, you're going to go deaf. My mom was always right. Everything I can think of, my mom was right. Yours probably was, too. So I pull up to this light, and I can hear it, man. Boom, 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 boom. And I'm thinking, I feel sorry for whoever's in that car with the windows up and speakers this big and just pounding. I said, I know what he's doing to his or her, whatever. I know what they're doing. So I look up, and my little rearview mirror, and I see this Buick with this sweet little old lady, and I barely see over the, and I'm pretty sure it's not her. Yeah. So, and it's loud. So then I look past the Buick, and there's a big old four-wheel drive pickup truck with a rifle rack, without a rifle if you live in New York, and with a fishing pole rack, that's what it was. And there's a redneck in there, big old redneck. Are you allowed to say that? Yeah, of course you are. And I'm pretty sure it wasn't him. And back behind him, I'm talking one, two, three cars back, is some little car, who knows, some little import. And boy, there's some guy in there, and it boom, boom, boom. And it's so loud, three cars back, it's bothering me. Amen. I just turned my radio up higher. I'm got better music than that. I'm just saying, what are you saying, Brother Burton? I'm looking forward to getting a place, and we got to put up with stuff. I get that. Listen, lost people are lost. Okay? Let's win them. All right, but I'll just be glad to get to a place where there won't be that, where there won't be any devil's music. It'll all be godly. Amen? It won't stir your hips. It'll stir your heart. I'll be glad we get to a place where nobody's taking the Lord's name in vain. When I was a kid, you didn't do that. I mean, it wasn't on television. I mean, nowadays, I mean, once in a while, I end up in a motel, and because I had to fly somewhere, and I'll turn on the TV. I'm looking for American Pickers. They took Duck Dynasty off, and there's nothing there. I don't read. People are naming shows all the time. I've never seen any of them. Amen. I don't want to see them. But man, they take the Lord's name in vain at. That's not even cussing. I'm tired of it. Amen. I was in a auto parts place in Long Island one time, and I walked in, and there was a guy, little Adolf Hitler, Napoleon Bonaparte, looking little guy, and he was bossing his employee. Got out three people, girl, and a couple guys, and yelling at him and cussing at him as somebody to ask for something, and he'd send him, go down there, and he was being real. And man, I hate bullies. I became a biker because I hate bullies. Amen. And I waited patiently, and he's taking the Lord's name in vain. And I got up to the counter. Yeah, what do you want? I said, well, I'm a preacher, and I'm in town up at so-and-so church, and I need, I don't know, something for my generator, spark plugs or something. It is, everything changes. Go, oh, well, yeah, sir, we're so glad you came. And the three employees at them, they're looking at him because he doesn't treat anybody else that way. As soon as you mention you're a preacher. And I said, yeah, I need this. And then he turned around to tell somebody to go get it. And I said, by the way, God's last name is not damn, pal. And boy, he turned six sheets of red, and the three employees are going, yes, praise the Lord. I get it, man. Hit that, but I'll be glad to get to a place where we don't have to have that anymore, aren't you? Verse 27 of Revelation 21 says this, and there shall in no wise enter into it, heaven, anything that defileth, nor whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. Everything up there will be clean and decent and honorable and lovely and pure, and we won't have to work so hard at thinking on those things because that's all there is to think about. I don't know about you, but I'm tired of this world. Amen. And the older I get, the sweeter heaven gets. And not just that, the sweeter serving the Lord gets. My wife and I are so much more content than we might have been 10 years ago. We've been a lot of places, we've seen God do some stuff, and there's just nothing this world's putting out even begins to compare with what the Lord will do in a church service like this if we can just get our attention off our realities out there for a little while and focus on the Lord. I've seen God save a 71-year-old man last week and a 20-year-old young man. up in upstate New York. An 11-year-old boy and a 25-year-old young lady in Maine 2 weeks before. And I don't know about you, but that floats my boat. That's as good as it gets. This world's got nothing compared to what Jesus Christ is willing to do on a regular basis. If we can get our attention off the cares of this life just a little more than we do. We're talking about good news from a far country. I'm going to read you the verse in 2 Corinthians 5. You can turn there. Verse 8 says this, "We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord." You want some good news? Your loved ones that have gone home to be with the Lord are safe and sound. That's good news to me. I've got friends up there. When I started in evangelism, my Bible teacher was in a wheelchair. He was paralyzed from Vietnam. And he got saved in the mid-70s and became a friend of this old long-haired biker that came into church out of the jail. He got Lou Gehrig's disease. Pretty unbelievable thing. And I was just starting out in evangelism, and the first thing I'd say in the pulpit of the few meetings I had, and the first thing I'd put in a prayer letter that I would write was, "Pray for Mike Constein, pray for the family." And God worked miracles through that. That guy won more people to the Lord while he was dying than some of us do, and maybe me included, while we're able. Amen. And then I got to go back to a church down by Fort Benning, Georgia, and the first thing I said was, "Thank you for praying for Brother Hontine. The Lord healed him." And everybody, the response was, "Wait, what? I didn't think there was a cure for Lou Gehrig's disease." Let me tell you something. God's got a cure for everything. And Brother Mike is not suffering anymore, and Brother Mike is not in a wheelchair anymore. Brother Mike doesn't take 4 hours to get ready to go to church or visit somebody in a hospital. Brother Mike's problems are over, as is everyone that's present with the Lord. My mom's there. My dad's there. My sister's there. I outlived them all, and I'm the one they expected to bury in the 70s. Are you kidding me? I think God's letting me live because I've lived such a wicked life. He's not going to reward me any earlier than he has to. Our loved ones that are in heaven have been through the shadow of death. We're still in the valley. They're having a great time. I got to Gouldsboro, Maine 2 weeks ago, and the day that we got there to begin the meeting, the pastor's mother was taken to Bangor, Maine, and in the hospital with liver failure. They buried her yesterday, 2 weeks. She'd been playing around with this thing since February, and she is home. And when we got the news, here's the thought that came into mind. She's having a great time right now. We're the ones that are sorrow, and we're supposed to, but I just want to give you some good news. You don't have to worry about them. They're waiting for you. Amen. As cold waters to a thirsty soul, so is good news from a far country. Now, go back to Revelation 20. Say, this is a long message. It's only 11:15. Come on. I got another message after this, you know, because I'm usually doing two every Sunday morning. If you don't respond to this, we're having another one. Revelation chapter 20, and look in verse number 10. It says, "And the devil that deceived them was cast into a lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever." Before I was in evangelism, I was in county jail, prison, juvenile detention ministry. I never dreamed normal people let me get up here and yell at them for an hour. I never saw that coming. And but God does stuff so that he'll get the glory. Read 1 Corinthians 1. And so I'm in a jail, I'm walking a catwalk, and I got three ranges on that floor, and I'm over here talking to this group, and then I gotta divide the time with a group, and that's all on the same floor. And there's a range in the middle, and nobody's interested. Nobody had asked the preacher to stop by. Nobody came out of their cells. And as I'm walking, I preach here, and I'm walking down to the other group, a voice comes out of one of the cells. Now, I can't see it because they're a long ways or where I am. And but a guy yells out, "I worship Satan." So the guy said it. So I thought, okay, how unfair of it was for me to skip this range. And I walked down to the one that I was going to be at next. I said, "Could you guys excuse me for a minute?" And they look at each other and went, "Yeah, because like they're in jail. Like, what are they going to say? I can do whatever I want." I said, "I'll be right back." So I go and I square off in front of this range where this guy yells that out. And I read that verse right there. And Revelation 20:10, "The devil that deceived them was cast in the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever." So I thought, this guy, this range, they deserve a message. Amen. And I want to be fair. I want to do everybody right. So that was my text. And I got to confess, I did not open in prayer. The message was real short, and it is the only short message I have, so buckle up for a long week. And I said this, "You worship a loser." And I thought that was only fair. I didn't give an invitation. I just went on. You know what I'm trying to say? You want some good news? The devil. That's what we're talking about there in Revelation 20. The devil is going to get what he's got coming to him. The enemy of righteousness is finally going to get what he deserves. He's going to reap what he's sown, and I'm happy about that. Amen? That's good news to me. Now, the sad truth of the matter is that by the time that takes place in Revelation chapter 20, he will have done plenty of damage. He is a deceiver, and he has convinced Christians that ought to know better. He's convinced, I mean, even in our crowd, us Bible believers, somebody say amen right there. He's convinced too many in our crowd that you can play around with sin and get away with it, and you're going to be the exception. And that book says, "Be not deceived, God is not mocked. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap." And I'm here to tell you, you're not going to get, God is not mocked. You're not going to be the exception. You are going to reap it. If you're playing around with sin, let me say this, it's not playing around with you. And people sit back and think, "Well, you preachers say that, but I'm doing this, 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 and I'm getting away with it." Really? You think you're getting away with it? You think you're smarter than God? Let me tell you what you're experiencing if the hammer hasn't dropped yet. You're experiencing the long suffering and mercy of God. Don't make God reveal a sin to your parent or your spouse or your preacher. Don't make God reveal a sin that he has been dealing with you about one-on-one, giving you chance after chance after chance to get right about while it's just between you and him. Wouldn't you prefer it to be that way? That book says if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Ain't none of us perfect. Ain't none of us don't make mistakes. Amen. But I'm going to tell you what, you need to keep short accounts with God, because if you think you're going to be the exception, you're not. You're going to be an illustration. And we don't need any more illustrations. Amen. We got enough examples of people that did not heed what the Word of God said. We got people these days that seem to think, "Well, you know, I'm having a little fun now. I got plenty of time to get right with God." That book says, "Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth." I got some bad news for you. You don't have any idea how much time you got. Amen? You get in a church on a Sunday morning and you come in and you hear them singing about the Savior and pray to God, and that book gets open and the Spirit of God bears witness to something in your life that needs some spiritual attention. You need to act on it. You need to act on it. You know why? Because the devil will. It says in Mark chapter 4, where the word is sown, Satan cometh immediately. And I'm going to tell you what, you better get that thing straightened out. 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 4 says this, the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Like I say, a bunch of hands went up. I don't know you. You don't know me. Amen. The Spirit's good in here and all that. But there might be somebody in here that the devil has successfully blinded your mind to the degree that you don't think you need to get saved. Because after all, compared to so-and-so, compared to all the stuff they put on the screen in front of us all the time, the wickedness of mankind, compared to most of them, you might be pretty good. But all have sinned, remember? All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And don't let the devil blind you into believing that you're going to make it to heaven on your own merit. The book says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. That ain't deep. No man means just what it says. Amen. Nobody's going to make it without the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. As cold waters to a thirsty soul, so is good news from a far country. I like good news, don't you? I prefer it. Absolutely. Let me tell you something. If you're saved in here, you're about to hear some really good news pretty soon. Revelation chapter 4 and verse 1, John wrote this, after this I looked and behold a door was opened in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither. Amen. And I will show thee things which must be thereafter. Amen. I am looking forward to hearing that. I believe that's the rapture of the church, folks. I believe it's right around the corner, and we're going to get to get out of here. Of course, then there's the judgment seat of Christ. Amen. That might not be as good a news to somebody in here as it could be. Amen. We all could do more. We need to try to do more. But there's some people that I hope I'm not behind at the judgment seat of Christ, because they have taken the goodness of God for granted. They have not yielded to or heeded the word of God through preaching. And you're going to get a chance to see your whole life work tried. And some people are not going to like the result of that. Say, what do I do? Get stuff right down here. And then you can look forward to going up there. And if you've got something in your life, whether it's your vacation or your retirement or your next new boat or car or whatever it is, you got something in your life that you're anticipating more than the Lord coming back, you're not where you should be spiritually, and you need to get that thing. I got plans, but there isn't one thing in my life that the hearing come up hither would disappoint me if I heard it. Not one thing. Amen. What about you this morning? Let's all stand. I'm done. I know you can't believe it. I'm done. Let's bow our heads, close our eyes. Let me say to you, the altar's open. And if the Lord spoke to you about anything in this message, I hope somebody prays. I remember this as a praying church. Amen. I go places where people don't go to the altar. I hope we didn't become that. I'm not even worried about it. Amen. If the Lord spoke to you about maybe doing more, maybe being more appreciative of the sacrifice that he made, man, that, you know how that'll manifest itself? You'll be more concerned about souls that he came to save. You'll turn out for outreaches. You'll witness more. You'll hand out a tract. Things like that. Let's just do more for God as this thing is winding down. Head bowed, eyes closed, and the piano's going to play softly. I'm going, if the altar's open, preacher's going to come. You know, whatever triggers you to respond, you're going to get that chance. I just want to say, it won't bother me right now. Won't bother me. I learned to preach in penitentiary, and people making noise, moving around, that won't bother me. Let me say this to you. If you're in here and you're not saved, and that trumpet blows, and the voice of the archangel says, come up hither, you're not going to hear it. Now, we've all noticed just how fast this world spun out of control over a little virus. What do you think, what do you think's going to happen when millions disappear? What do you think that's going to happen? What's going to happen when millions of Christians disappear from this planet? Talk about chaos. Amen. If you're not saved, you're not going to hear that. And I know that's not good news. And I want to preach on good news. So I've got some very good news. The Bible says, whosoever is not found written in the book of life was cast into a lake of fire. If you're not saved, that's you. But I don't want to put a damper on the message. So let me say this. You want some good news? If you're in here and you're not saved, there is still room in your name for the book of life. In the book of life. Whatever yesterday was like, whatever your past is, you can get your sins forgiven. You can get become a child of God. You can get your name in the book of life today. That book says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And it's as simple as that. It means what it says. I got saved in a jail cell. Amen. Different people get saved different places. I believe the best place to get saved is an old-fashioned church. It doesn't have to be, but what better place? With Christians around, Bibles, Spirit of God bearing witness. If you're in here and you're not saved, head bowed and eyes closed. If you're in here and you're not saved, you don't know on the authority of the Word of God, not how I feel, I think, I hope. If you're in here and you're on the authority of the Word of God, you don't have confidence that if you took your last breath today, you'd be present with Jesus Christ. Slip your hand up and I'll pray for you.